Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. Hour number two live in Los Angeles. This show's The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1, Joy Taylor joining me. I watched some Zion last night. He's amazing. Remember, Joy, how I did the mock draft last Thursday with Daniel Jeremiah as a former three-time scout in the NFL?
Yes.
And when I did my mock draft, I had Kyle Pitts, the tight end, at number two.
You did?
And there was this sense, I got mocked for it. Like, oh, you, and I said, if Trevor Lawrence wasn't in the draft, I would take Kyle Pitts number one. He's the best player easily in the draft. So an NFL scout came out yesterday, anonymously, because nobody wants to talk about the players before their team.
Sure.
He said, I've never seen anything like Kyle Pitts. He goes, after Trevor Lawrence, that's the guy you draft second in the draft. Now, it's interesting because I should have majored in college in sociology instead of broadcasting because I love watching people's behavior. And I have a belief, this is my belief, that most people are more talented than their current job. But that fear drives everybody. Your fear of failure, your fear of leaving home, your fear of being mocked. That drives every decision. And most people are driven by fear. Even tough guys at the gym, they never move out of their hometown. They don't want to go for it. They don't want to fail. They're comfortable at home. And that fear of missing out. They talk about FOMO, young kids. Fear of missing out, not being at the cool parties. Fear drives everything. And Bill Belichick, because of all his Super Bowls, doesn't draft out of fear. Now, he struggles with drafting, but he drafted a kicker. There's always been this saying, can't draft a kicker. Well, Belichick, believe it or not, is smarter than you, guy listening right now on your Reddit account. He drafted a kicker, Steven Gutkowski. He made the all-decade team in four or five Pro Bowls and was the leading scorer for them. You can draft a kicker. They'll be the leading scorer on your football team. Think about any other sport, the leading scorer. You can't draft a leading scorer. You can't draft a kicker. Belichick's the best coach ever. He did. Of course you could draft a kicker. But people don't do it because the fear of being mocked. Kyle Pitts is so good that the scouts I talk to say that not only will he be the best tight end on your football team, that barring four or five teams, he'd be the best receiver on your football team, rookie year in the NFL. Now, there's obviously he's not as good as Devontae Adams right now in Green Bay or DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona. I mean, there's a handful of receivers he's not better than. Mike Evans maybe at Tampa. But that he's the fact he'll be the best tight end in the league by his first or second year. And by the way, tight ends have never meant more. Travis Kelce last year was second in receiving yards in the league as a tight end. But this idea that you would box yourself in and not be able to draft a tight end first or second is stupid. Why are you? What the only reason you wouldn't is fear of being mocked. Years ago, Chris Ballard, a great GM for the Colts, drafted a guard like fifth or sixth. And I know Ballard, and I remember talking to him about it. And he's like, Colin, he's the only player in this draft that is guaranteed to be a Hall of Famer. I don't care what position he plays. He goes, a third of this first round is going to whiff. Half of the first round will underachieve. He's the only guy that you're like, oh, it's a Hall of Famer. Like Tyron Smith, when the Cowboys drafted him out of USC, it was under every scout I talked to was like, oh, he is a Hall of Famer. He was just like, you get about one of these a draft. You get maybe one a draft. Patrick Willis, when the 49ers drafted him out of Ole Miss. I can remember talking to, I said this on the air at ESPN. They're like, he's the best player in the draft. He's the only can't miss in the draft as long as he doesn't get hurt. Like, I don't care about labels that I can't do. If Trevor Lawrence isn't in this draft, he is the only guaranteed star. Kyle Wilson's not a guaranteed star. He's never beaten a top 20 program in college. This kid played against Patrick Surtain, who's the first or second best corner in the country for Alabama. Ate him up. Okay? He's going to walk into this league and tear it up as a rookie. Take out five or six teams. He'll be your best wide receiver. Stop living in these tunnels and these boxes, and you can't. And you can draft a kicker. You can draft a tight end number one. You can draft a guard top five or six. And that Cowboy offensive line was a bunch of centers and guards and tackles all first round. It's not just the quarterback pass rusher league. You get a great – how many teams in the NFL, because when you have a quarterback, don't need a great – I mean, the Seattle Seahawks right now, their number one need is a left guard. If you had Quentin Nelson available and you had the fourth pick for Seattle, you're going to go get a corner?
Well, that's always the balance of the draft. Do you take the best player that's available, or do you take what you need?
Well, when
if
the player
you need
is
a quarterback, then you've got to take a quarterback, which is why they go high in the draft. If you don't, you should absolutely take the most talented player. This is a conversation with Chase Young. Chase Young, we know what Chase Young is going to be.
Just
great
draft him
immediately.
By the way,
but if you need a quarterback, you can't take Chase Young.
Well, if you need a quarterback, so quarterback's the exception. But
right.
Washington already had a great defensive front, and they were like, no, Chase Young is obviously the best player in the draft.
And they were right.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he's a monster.
And if you,
you
don't
can't
have
block
a transcendent
him.
Talent like Trevor Lawrence, or you don't have someone like Joe Burrow, then yeah, you should take the most talented player in the draft. Whatever I mean, position that
Kyle
is.
Kyle Pitts doesn't even look like other players. I mean, scouts are now saying, oh, he'll be the best receiver on your team. I watched about four Florida games this year. They lined him up everywhere. They lined him up in the slot. They lined him up. Alabama couldn't stop him. He had like seven catches, 120 yards, and everybody, Nick Saban knew a week before, they're going to throw to him every play.
He's excellent, but if you don't have someone to throw him to
That's
him,
right. If you don't have a quarterback, get a quarterback.
Yes.
But outside a quarterback, if Kyle Pitts is available, unless I have Travis Kelce, I'm drafting him. He's ridiculous. All right, let's go to Chris Broussard. Rarely ridiculous. Fox Sports NBA analyst joining us now live. So, let me tell you something. I'm watching Zion, and the league is putting – I got more Pelican games on my television than I know what to do with. What does that tell you about Zion? What's it tell you about him?
Well, look, obviously the league wants to put him out there and make him the next star. And early in the season when they were losing, it was looking bad. I was like, my goodness, every other night the Pelicans are on national TV and they're losing. This is a horrible decision. But now, of course, he's playing well. And what I love, they're putting the ball in his hands. Stan Van Gundy has put the ball in his hands. Now he's running more high pick and roll, almost point guard at times. Not exclusively, which I like, but just enough to throw a different look at the defense. And Zion is playing great, living up to it. It's how popular is he? You know, he was only sixth, Colin, in the All-Star voting. In front court players in the Western Conference. Now, obviously, you got some great players out west, but I was a little surprised by that because fans aren't the most astute voters. I mean, Yao Ming was voted eight times a starter and over Shaquille O'Neal oftentimes. So a lot of times, fan voting is not based on ability. I was surprised that Zion didn't rank a little higher in that regard. And early in the year when they were losing, I actually think there was a very small amount of buzz around him. Now that they're starting to win eight of their last 15, he's putting up 27 points a game over those last 15. Now the buzz is coming. I tell you, I don't think he's going to do it, but if he would be in the slam dunk contest,
boom,
I think that would skyrocket his fame even more. So it's good because he can be a new face of the league coming up.
You know, it's interesting. Speaking of new faces, I was wrong on this one. LaMelo Ball is tearing it up. Tearing it up. You surprised?
I'm surprised that he's doing it so quickly. You know, everybody knew of his talent. I liked him a lot. I thought he obviously had everything Lonzo had, but more. He's more aggressive, more offensive-minded. He kept his dribble alive a lot longer than Lonzo, which I liked. And I'm going to credit Michael Jordan and Charlotte Hornets because they didn't force him out there. Obviously, they need a face, right? They need a young star, somebody to draw attention to him. And they still started him out on the bench, made him earn his position in the starting lineup. And then when he was ready, they didn't hold him back. So credit to them. But Colin, over the last month, since he's been starting, 20 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, and like 42% shooting from three. And that's the thing. Nobody thought he could shoot. And here he comes hitting over 40% from three. He's got the flair. He's a great passer. I'm glad somebody, he's going to be a star, because I think LeVar would be insufferable if none of his kids became superstars. So good for all of us that LaMelo looks like the real deal.
I thought you made a really smart comment on this. He doesn't pick up his dribble, and that tells you that Lonzo is a little apprehensive about his jumper. So Lonzo's a great dribbler, but he picks it up because he's a little reticent to shoot a three. LaMelo trusts his own shot, so he doesn't pick that dribble up. He's just going to take it and go score. So LaMelo's a much more aggressive player than Lonzo, and I think a lot of that is because he's a better shooter. Now, let's segue to this. We know AD's great, but it is funny now. The Lakers are 7-1 when Schroeder and LeBron play and AD doesn't. And I was thinking about this. I don't know if Joy and I were talking about this. One of the little secrets last year to the Lakers' success is often brittle AD got a 4.5-month in-season hiatus. And if I'm the Lakers, I'm sitting there thinking, well, hell, if we have Schroeder in this roster and LeBron, we're a 1 or 2 seed. What's the rush to get AD back? Let's give him another 1.5 months off. We know he misses 20% of his games as a pro, Chris. I could make the argument, just do what you did last year to a lesser degree. Give him 8 to 10 weeks off. Why not?
Yeah, it's hard to disagree. And I got to be honest, even if Schroeder wasn't playing well and the Lakers were still losing, or if Schroeder wasn't there, say he was hurt still, I still would take that approach with Anthony Davis, because the two top priorities for the Lakers are going into the playoffs are LeBron and Anthony Davis as close to full health as possible.
Right.
That's it. It's not your seed. It's not even, you want to be playing well, but even if you're not, that's not the priority. It's just have those two close to full health. Last year, they were 3-5 in the bubble. And remember, they couldn't hit a three-point shot, and they couldn't stop a three-point shot. It was like people were picking Houston and Portland to beat the Lakers in the playoffs. But they had those two guys at full health playing near the top of their games, and we know that they won the championship. So I agree with you. I would just let AD rest. I mean, I wouldn't go too far with it, but I would wait until he's basically 100% healthy and then get ready for the playoffs. I don't care if I fall to a 4 seed. I don't think they will, but if that was the case, I still would risk it just to be healthy.
Yeah. Finally, I led my show with this yesterday. I watched the Bucks-Clippers at the end of the game. I watched the second half. And Giannis played very well, but once again, Kawhi and Paul George were not great late. And it's interesting with Kawhi is that in San Antonio and Toronto, the culture was set, and he came in as sort of a mercenary, get a basket, get a stop guy, and it worked. But in Los Angeles, he's more build a culture guy. Well, there's two ways to be a leader. You can be a verbal leader, he's not, or you can be a lead by example guy. Well, with load management, he's not always that either. Could you say about the Clippers a little bit here? They thought Kawhi's never proven you can build a culture around him. What he's proven is that if the culture is built, he's the icing to a really good cake. And that maybe the Clippers, if not delusional, were asking him to do what he's really not as a person or a player.
No, look, the evidence points to that. I mean, you remember San Antonio, they had the big three still. Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker. Kawhi averaged 12 points that regular season. Now, he was the MVP of the finals, but he wasn't a star by any stretch of the imagination. And you said it about Toronto, and let's face it, they don't win that championship. Certainly not if Kevin Durant's healthy. I don't even think they win it if Klay Thompson is healthy, but still, give him credit. He's got 2 rings. But I agree with you, because he's not a leader. He's not a very communicative person. So he's certainly not building a culture in a positive way. And last year we saw he really contributed to building a negative culture there with the Clippers. I think he's a little better this year, which is good. But I think it's something else too, Colin. There are levels to this. We know this, right? There are levels. And every time you reach one level, now the question becomes, okay, can you do it again? Like, Luka has established himself as a superstar, right?
Yep.
But now the question is, okay, can you win? Can you go deep in the playoffs? And then after that, it'll be, can you win a championship? With Kawhi, I think the next level for him to get to is, can you win with the pressure of high expectations. Because San Antonio, he wasn't under any pressure. Toronto, he wasn't under any pressure because it was a one-year rental and nobody expected anything from the Raptors. All right. Now he comes to the Clippers, and now people are saying he's better than LeBron. He's got billboards all over the place. He's got his own shoe deal. It's his city, supposedly, right? And now the pressure of expectations are on him. Credit LeBron James. LeBron has played with these expectations 95% of his career, if not the entire career. It's different. All guys don't want those expectations of having to win a championship or lead your team to a championship. So I think that's the question, too, with Kawhi. Does he like these expectations? Because, Colin, he has been bad in the clutch these 2 years in with the Clippers.
Yeah, no.
We saw it Sunday against the Bucks. It's been that way all season, and it was that way last year against Denver in the playoffs.
Good stuff. Chris Broussard, always appreciated. Fox Sports NBA analyst. He and Rob Parker, the odd couple. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, every day, 7 to 10 Eastern. It's got a lot of stick. It's funny, and they're great, a great listen, and I appreciate you stopping by, Chris.
All right, my man. Later.
All right. We'll go to Dallas before the end of the hour and Matt Mosley on the Jane Slater reporting. Dak wants to be in the Patrick Mahomes neighborhood, and that is some neighborhood.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Saturday on Fox, a crucial Big East doubleheader tips off at 2:30 Eastern as number 10 Villanova faces Providence, followed by number 14 Creighton taking on Butler. The league's top two contenders look to gain some steam heading into the Big East tournament. That's Saturday on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
I'm rooting for Jay Wright. Nothing against the other guys. I like him more, though. You know, he checked in with me with my crazy meltdown physically.
Aw.
Jay Wright sent me a nice message. That's very nice of him. So if you want to curry favor with me, whenever I end up in a hospital, text me nice things and I will root for your team and say wonderful things about
I text you lots of nice things.
Well, I root for you.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And Jay Wright. A lot of you coaches out there, you get bounced in the tournament. I don't even care anymore.
We're just going to put you in a bubble so we don't have to worry about this anymore.
I got
to
respot Jersey Mike's. Is it, what day is it today?
Today is Tuesday.
Oh, I don't love Tuesdays.
Wednesday, though.
Jersey Mike's Day. Tuesdays don't do a thing for me. Just order Jersey Mike's through their app. No contact delivery or no contact at the door pickup. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
I'm so interested now to find out who texted you.
You can't, but it was a lot of Chris Ballard. He was very, very nice.
I don't want to ask you on air because you're going to out people. Yeah, I'll ask you off air who else.
Well, you'd think, you know, a guy's on his deathbed, you'd at least say hi, Colin. But no big deal. I'm not bitter. Don't hold grudges.
A lot of people were very concerned about
I know. I'm just
kidding. We're glad you're back.
I'm doing just fine.
So Dak Prescott and the Cowboys are stuck in what feels like never-ending contract negotiation.
2 years.
I don't remember a point in my career where I talked more about someone's...
Oh, there's never been. Never, ever.
Contracts.
Ever. There's never been anything like this.
Because generally, it's not really that interesting.
It's always boring.
Right. And this is very interesting because it's so layered.
Well, and you can always take sides. Like with Patrick Mahomes, you'd be like, just pay him. That'd be stupid not to.
Right.
Like, or with Trubisky, you're like, let's not pick up the option. Let's move on.
It's usually very clear what should happen. And then you get into the debate of, like, should they be paid this much more or not? But you definitely either feel like they should be paid or shouldn't.
And then, so you have two different camps with Dak, and it's the Cowboys. But the other thing is now Dak wants big boy money. So now he's creating another layer of, like, argument. This is why it's a good topic. It gets a number every time I talk about it, because there really are two sides to this story.
Right. So NFL Network's Jane Slater gave a little bit more insight into why they haven't come to an agreement yet.
Last year's money was in the ballpark of Russell Wilson / Jared Goff type money, Now he's looking to be paid right behind Patrick Mahomes, a guy who's gone to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. Dak hasn't done that yet, so they feel like it's been a respectable offer. His camp believes that he needs to bear what the market value is, and they feel like this deal should have gotten done 2 years ago, so your problems with money aren't our problems. It's about respect.
I'm so conflicted about this because I've always been on Dak's side in this conversation.
By the way, Dak talks about respect. That's a big thing for guys. Do women talk about respect?
Yes.
Okay, because guys, it's a big deal.
All the time.
Okay, so you guys do that too. Show me respect.
Well, I mean, because I think respect is measured in actions and in words. How you treat someone with, like, it's why Deshaun Watson feels disrespected. He was paid respectably, but he wasn't treated with respect.
Yeah.
And he doesn't feel like other people around him were treated with respect. So respect is very layered. It's not just a direct thing like, okay, we've paid you, therefore you've been respected. Like, there's a lot of nuance to it. I feel like the disrespect started when they signed Ezekiel Elliott and got that contract done before they got their franchise quarterback contract done. There weren't that many questions about what Dak was capable of. Why would you do that contract first before the quarterback? Because at that point, you could have gotten him on a much more reasonable deal. But then as time went on, it's like, no, I'm actually extremely valuable. Now, it becomes a conversation of how valuable. Patrick Mahomes, everyone understood that contract. But what Patrick Mahomes has accomplished plays a huge role on, and then we all have eyeballs and can see how talented he is as well, obviously. It's getting very complicated for me to assess this because I obviously feel like he should be paid, and who am I to tell someone to take less money? I think you should do whatever you want with your career. What I would do is take a slightly more reasonable deal, especially after coming off of this type of injury.
Same here.
And take he just wants a shorter deal than Dallas is willing to give. That part I'm on his side on. He should be able to they should move on the one-year deal. The one that he wants a four-year, they want a five-year. Move on the 1 year, pay him. Because the thing about it is while he was on this rookie contract, you had all the money to sign all these players and bring in all this talent. You guys didn't make it happen. Dak's not the GM. Dak's right. Not the owner. That's not on him to put all the pieces around him to make him successful.
I guarantee you Jerry's saying, you've made $75 million in endorsements. You wouldn't do that with the Jags. You got to that's right, Jerry's sales pitch is, Russell Wilson's made $15 million in endorsements. You've made $70. You got to take that into account.
And that's hard to hear from a billionaire. But
I know.
Here is the reality.
Billionaires don't have salary caps, though, like players do.
Salary cap.
Yeah.
This is MLB...
You can pay me whatever.
$400 million.
Yeah.
You can't tell me you're not going to pay me because you have it. But this is a salary cap situation, and you have to fit in other players. And to your point, you are not going to get those endorsement deals if you're somewhere else. So, you know, Patrick Mahomes makes $45 million annually. Deshaun Watson makes $39 million. So he's looking for somewhere, assumedly, in the $40 million range. And, you know, when you look down at what those other guys have accomplished, Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, Patrick Mahomes is a Super Bowl, Russell Wilson is a Super Bowl. We all think, well, not all of us, you and I think Roethlisberger should hang it up, but he has two. And
yeah.
Jared Goff played in one. Aaron Rodgers has one. What kind of company are you in?
Yeah.
Jane Slater just tweeted an update. I'm told Dak's been at the facility nearly every day rehabbing, so must not be that contentious, folks. Secondly, Stephen Jones and Todd France have been talking, and they are good talks. Still nothing meaningful here, but they're better than they've been. So maybe one day we'll get to the end of this contract. So Trevor Lawrence is only a couple weeks into his recovery from left shoulder surgery, and he's already getting good rehab work in. He posted a few pictures that showed him lifting weights and working with a physical therapist, and added the caption, day by day.
Now look at that picture. That looks like a number one pick. He's standing next to a man who appears to be a normal-sized man.
Well, Trevor Lawrence is 6'6".
Yeah, look at Trevor Lawrence. By the way, that's what a number one pick looks like. He doesn't look like anybody in your family. I mean, look at his chest. Look at his size. Look at his... That is what a number one pick... I'm sorry, but I'm... Zach Wilson at BYU looks skinny to me.
Okay, but we've seen skinny, undersized guys be very successful. Outliers, obviously. Tom Brady being one of them. He would not appreciate that.
Well, he was a fifth round. I wouldn't pick Tom Brady number one. That's right.
Yes. I'm glad that his... this is the thing now. You know, I think when guys first started posting like rehab and training videos and workout videos, it was kind of like made fun of. And now it's kind of necessary. Like everyone wants updates on your progress and what you're doing in the off season. But I'm glad that his rehab is coming along nicely. And you've been in physical therapy as of late.
It stinks.
So you know how.
I got it tomorrow at 3. It stinks.
It's the worst.
It's the worst.
The injury itself is bad, right? It can be painful. But the rehab is really what drains your spirit.
It's exhausting.
It is exhausting.
And it's crucial. So by the way, if you have an injury, go get physical therapy. Guys hate to do it.
Well,
do
a lot
it.
Of times what happens is you don't get the proper physical therapy. And you don't take it seriously. And then you don't recover
properly. I talked to a doctor yesterday. Dr. Thomas Lowe, he's a great doctor. And he was saying, yeah, I skied a couple years ago. I banged up my shoulder. Yeah, I didn't take care of it. It just kind of healed by itself. And I thought, you're a doctor. But by the way, it shows you. We're guys. We're like, banged up skiing. We guys, right now, as a pro athlete, you have to do rehab. Your
right,
team
but it's still, they're still human beings. Like, it is, to your point, it's exhausting to do rehab. It's like another job. Now, when you're a pro athlete, obviously, it is your job to rehab in the same way it would be your job to train
and
work out.
By the way, is my doctor going to be mad at me because I said his name? He's a brilliant doctor. He's brilliant, literally brilliant. But he was talking about a ski accident.
Well, maybe he's a doctor. I'm sure he's very busy, so he didn't feel like doing it.
But it's funny how guys.
I didn't want to rehab. When I tore my ACL, I was like, I don't feel like doing any of this.
I didn't rehab until my wife literally said, you can't sleep on your left side. Something's wrong with your body. Get it fixed. I had to be taught. I was in so much pain, I couldn't go on my left side. And I was like, yeah, it'll go away. My wife's like, yeah, 7 months, it hasn't gone away. Don't be an idiot.
Yeah, I don't
guys
have
the, are
see,
weird.
See, I don't have the pain capacity for that. If I'm uncomfortable for 5 minutes, I'm like, all right, I'm getting this fixed.
Oh, not me. I'm a warrior.
I'm not. So finally, LaMelo Ball continues to impress his rookie year. He averaged 20 points, 6.2 rebounds, and 6.7 assists in the month of February. With those numbers, he became only the third teenager to play at least 10 games in a calendar month and average at least 20 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists per game in that stretch. He's in pretty good company. Only two others to do it, one being Luka Doncic and LeBron James.
Yeah. I mean, he's surprised me. I thought he was really flashy, and I thought, yeah, I've seen his brothers play. A little bit of sizzle, not enough steak for me. But he really is, when you watch him play, and I don't watch a lot of Charlotte stuff, but the times I watched enough NBA, he's aggressive offensively. You can tell by the way he plays, he thinks he's a great offensive player. And that, by the way, that's a big chunk of it.
I'm not a huge bragger. You know, if I'm wrong, I usually just kind of ignore it and then it'll go away.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty proud about how right I was.
Yeah, you called this one.
I think I deserve just one. Just one.
Hey, that's right. A couple of experts here. When we get it right, we want to hear about it.
Yeah, you know.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
You know,
news.
I was thinking about that J.J. Watt situation. It's well documented now that younger general managers in the National Football League are more willing to trade than older general managers. It's cultural. The young the less needs. You know, they're going to go out. Howie Roseman. The young GMs are much more about making trades and making deals. The old GMs not as much. What's also happening in coaching is young coaches, Sean McVay, Cliff Kingsbury, Green Bay's coach,
LaFleur,
they're not going to grind you as much as at practice as a Belichick. Now, and the Bruce Arians is an old coach who thinks young. He's not a grinder at practice either. And I do wonder with J.J. Watt, players sell players on culture. James Harden was talked into coming to Brooklyn by KD. AD was talked into coming by LeBron. Players talk to players, stars talk to stars. And I do think DeAndre Hopkins admitted he sold J.J. Watt. Well, what did he sell him on? Did he sell him on, we win Super Bowls here? No. We finished first last year. Well, no. We best coach easily in the division. No. What he sold him on is culture. And the culture in Arizona with young Cliff Kingsbury is we don't grind you every day at practice. It's about Sundays. And I think that's powerful. I think Nick Saban's really smart at this. And that's not a knock, by the way. McVay was the first coach to come out and say, preseason is stupid. I'm not going to play any of my good players in the preseason. And he got criticized for it. Oh, September, October. They went 8-0. So basically, McVay's culture was the preseason. I'm not going to play any of my good players in the preseason. It has no relevance. He didn't. And now everybody's copied him. None of the good teams play their players in preseason very many snaps. McVay is also a believer in this game's hard enough. We don't need to wear pads all the time. And they've cut back on wearing pads. The Rams are known as an easier practice team. They're intense, short practices. They don't keep you out there forever. So Nick Saban's really good at this. Saban is legendary. Saban is very pro player. He's brutal on his coaches. He is just eats his coaches alive. They can't get out of there. I mean, the minute they get a job offer at Arby's, they're out of there. Why? Because Nick's smart. He knows players sell players. That's why Alabama's recruiting is always great. Because the players are like, oh, Nick, he loves us, man. Nick's great. Saban's legendary with his players. Always defends his player. He'll bark at him once or twice a season on the sideline, but he's tough on coaches. And because coaches, they come and go. But those players, they sell your program not only when they play, but when they leave. And so I think a lot of the J.J. Watt thing is DeAndre Hopkins sold him on the culture. And the culture is very pro-player. We don't grind in the preseason. We don't grind you at practice. And let's be honest with J.J. Watt. He's got $150 million. He's got a Hall of Fame career. He shows up on Sunday and plays. These guys don't need – J.J. Watt doesn't need to be getting banged up in practice. And I do think if you look at McVay's ability to attract free agents, I think the word's out with the Rams. It is very pro-player, and we don't live by this old-school nonsense that crushing you in practice matters. Bruce Arians, by the way, it's very attractive. Brady comes down. Not a lot of people saying no to Bruce Arians in free agency. And Brady's a grinder, by the way, but Bruce is about Sunday. Let's get it right on Sunday. All right, Matt Mosey's around the corner, co-host of the Doomday podcast with Ed Werder. Very popular stuff on the Dak situation, which is getting weird.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
He's covered the Cowboys for 17 years. He's my friend, and all sorts of stuff's happening here. James Slater reporting stuff on Dak, and they want big money. And I thought, let's call Matt Mosley, Cowboys insider, and he is joining us. He only takes his glasses off for one interview in America, folks. It's our show. That's it. There he is right there. So, I said this morning, Dak's gone from dependable and devoted to maybe a little delusional. When I see these numbers, I'm like, Dak, 37, 38 million? Are Cowboy fans in the world in which you live, are there Cowboy fans that are like been Dak supporters but now question him a little?
You know, they may question him a little bit, but they, you know, Cowboys fans have seen the alternative when they don't have a quarterback. And I just don't see any way. It is crazy that it's gotten to this point. It's totally Jerry's fault. But it's Jerry who, in the end, will make this right. You've spent time with Jerry. You've interviewed him. Romo, they lucked out on. This fourth-round pick, Dak, they can talk big, but they wanted Connor Cook and the tall guy, Paxton Lynch. I mean, those are the people that they really wanted. And when you watch these throws, and I know, Colin, for some reason, you dream of Andy Dalton back in the pocket for the Cowboys next season. Yeah. But this is the guy that will be here for the next 6 to 7 years. And what he's done is he's put Jerry in a corner. Jerry's admitted it to a certain extent. And so he's pushed him into a corner. So he's got ultimate leverage. Jerry sort of admitted that. And so while we can go, oh my gosh, $38 million a year, that is where the market is. And that is what he would get on the open market. So Jerry will have to pay up. But it is really remarkable that it has gotten this far.
Did you, when Russell Wilson named the Cowboys in his four, how did that play in Dallas?
You know, I there was a our pulse quickened. Like, oh, Russell running around and all that kind of stuff. But then I think there was a little bit of disrespect that came into the play. Like really, your agent's going to say Cowboys when Dak hasn't gotten his. You know, that's a huge fraternity, the quarterback fraternity. And so while it sounds kind of fun, I mean, Russell is incredible. I mean, you know that area better than anyone. You know when he's throwing the deep ball. But Pete made him hand it off. And I do sort of believe some of that athletic story. You know, somebody anonymously said, is this guy trying to save face a little bit? You know what would give me pause about Russell Wilson? Is just this, all this talk about, Colin, legacy. I worry about quarterbacks. I love the guy. He's inspirational. He inspires me. I mean, that Super Bowl a few years ago, I would just go hear him like he was a motivational speaker. It was like I was going to see Tony Robbins or something. I would have walked on hot coals for this man. But I'm telling you, I there's something that rubbed me wrong about that whole story. Someone that is enamored with their own legacy. Colin, you don't sit around thinking about, oh, what's my legacy? You're thinking about, what restaurant can I open tomorrow? What, you know, what can I do? So this bothers me about Russell Wilson. It would, if the Cowboys could trade Dak, is Russell Wilson better than Dak? You bet. Dak, though, is what, 6 years younger? And has his career ahead of him? And you saw him, you saw those pictures of him, those Yeezys or the those shoes he was in. People, I mean, weeks ago, people in Dallas had him barely living. I mean, oh my gosh, will he ever walk again? And he looks great. So I just, as fun as all this is to talk about, and Lord knows I'll write more about it on foxsports.com, but this deal has to get done. Jerry, this would be the biggest embarrassment of his career. That's really saying something. I mean, I there's, you know, there have been some things, but Colin, can you name anyone, Jerry, has ever let get away that you would have deep regrets about? Maybe Sean Payton. Maybe you could talk about some of these coaches that have gone on to do really nice things. But as far as a player, he's never not got, you know, been able to get something done.
Yeah.
So I don't think about all this, oh my gosh, 37. Oh, he wants a little. I mean, can you imagine that being said by an agent? Hey, we want just a little bit less than Patrick's $45 million a year or whatever that deal does. What he wants, and he should probably, you know, Cowboys should do this. They should do an NBA-type deal where he gets a three-year big-time deal. I kind of like that. I kind of like some of that. Instead of just giving that to the Tom Brady's or the Rivers at the end of their careers, why do these young guys not maybe go with it? Now, this team wants to spread it. I get that. People like Mosley, what about the salary cap? I think if he could really get a short-term deal, I mean, that would be great. And then the Cowboys have, I mean, the pressure on Mike McCarthy and everybody else. You got 3 years to get your Super Bowl. I mean, I've really talked myself into this just since I've been on with you.
Well, how is – we got a couple minutes left. Hot, you know, Jerry tends to give his coaches an extra year. Is McCarthy on any hot seat if he started 1-4?
Yeah. I think 1-4, you're looking for an interim coach.
Wow.
And you're looking. I mean, I'm just saying that talk will start. I've only seen Jerry do it once. He Wade Phillips. He fired him mid-season.
Yep.
And that is how Garrett proved himself. He's done it before. If they get off, if Dak's back and Dak's right, and they, you know, they brought in Quinn, you have the interim coach because Quinn's been a head coach, so you have that part of it set up. So, I mean, I don't. That's a very nasty, negative hypothetical. You've sent me down that path, Colin. But I would say, if they start 1-4, kind of like last season,
right,
it's hot seat time in Texas. Because there is no Garrett always had the family connection.
Yes.
Jason's going to come to Thanksgiving with the family. We love you. But it's not that way. It's not that way with McCarthy. There is no deep relationship. But the only thing saving McCarthy from truly being on the hot seat is Jerry hates more than anything that he's made a mistake. Okay, and that's why Dak. I mean, he's going to be back. And by the way, some leverage is about to take place. You will see some major draft, some quarterback draft talk. Okay, that's gonna come up. What are they going to do at 10? And that's a lot of that will be to kind of rile up a little bit the Prescott camp.
Okay,
I see that coming, and that's coming. I'm going to help that process. I'm going to write some stuff about it. See if I can inch that down the road. But that is what is coming.
All right. Hey, good luck to Baylor. You can put your sunglasses on again now, which you take off for about 6 minutes a day when you're on our show. And good luck to your Baylor Bears. They're okay. They're pretty good defensively. Don't get ahead of yourself there. I got to get going here, Mosley. It's good talking to you.
Really enjoyed it. That's a 2 p.m. Pacific start. That's a great, great game today. Okay, thank you, Colin.
You bet. Big 12 basketball, Matt Mosley, Baylor Bears. He graduated from there. It's a fine university, and they play real defense there. Man-to-man, they get in your face a little bit. Very athletic. Gonzaga's the best offensive team. Baylor's the best defensive team.
I prided myself on being a pesky defender.
Did you? Not me.
It's mostly because I was small. And
honestly, I don't think I went to that side of the floor.
Yeah.
Just give me the ball.
I like
let me shoot.
The ball.
Yeah, I made James Harden look like a great defensive player. That's a lot of work to defend somebody. Black Rifle Coffee, veteran-owned coffee company, serving premium coffee to people who love America. Check it out, blackriflecoffee.com/herd. Get you 20% off your first coffee club order. Hour 3 next.